Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. Two Unlimited conquered the world in the 90s and scored a string of 16 hits in a row, including No Limit, Twilight Zone, Jump for Joy, Maximum Override, and Get Ready for This. Many of these hits revived in films and TV series like Any Given Sunday, Final Destination, Space Jam, and are still number one massive NBA and NFL Super Bowl sports anthems. With 22 million sales worldwide and gold and platinum awards in every country around the globe, 2 Unlimited is the most successful export product of the 90s. They also received 3 World Music Awards as best-selling artists of the year. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Ray Slingshot from 2 Unlimited. Where do we find you in the world? What's happening in your life and how are you doing?
Well, in the first place, everything is going well. It's a big blessing because we're doing a lot of shows. Every year, our thing is going down, but it seems like every year the 90s is getting more popular.
Yes.
So how my schedule looks now, every weekend we got 2-3 shows somewhere in the, well, most of the time Europe, of course, but of course we did Australia, we did Canada, but now the summer is very big in Europe. So some days we got 3 shows in one night. It's crazy. And well, we do a lot in Spain. We do Germany, Belgium, Holland, the UK. Yeah, all around, actually, you know. We're still doing like 80 shows a year, something like this. Yeah, the 90s is still booming. You know, one time we can play at a corporate event for 500 people, and the next day we're standing in Valencia for 22,000 people. So it really varies, and especially in Europe, it's just like really big venues. Last year we did Germany, it was 50,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Of course, there were all the 90s artists from Snap, Hathaway, Albarn, and Benga Boys. So especially if you think about it now, our first record came out in 91, which is already almost 33 years ago.
Yes.
And, you know, I just turned 52 last week. And yeah, it's a blessing, but also kind of strange that after so long time that the 90s is still hot. You know, people still know the songs. And of course, especially people from my age, it was their youth. It was the first single they bought, the first kiss, or the first time they went out. So yeah, no. So for me, I'm really, of course, when I started and when I wrote Get Ready for This in the beginning, I never thought it would be such a huge success. And even that 30 years later, they still played at the NBA in the States, at the big baseball, American football game. So yeah, it's evergreens, man.
If you look at a lot of TV shows from the 80s and 90s and early 2000s are being rebooted and coming back. So that whole feeling of nostalgia, whether it's for music or entertainment or holding on to that childhood or that element, because things are so hectic at the moment. So I think it's a reminder of like, okay, this is when things were not maybe amazing in the world, but maybe a little bit better.
No, it was a time of freedom and,
yes,
you know, the ball fell and, you know, so it was a new era. And, you know, when I speak to people, you know, I never wanted to sound like an old man. Like back in the days, everything was better.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was really a good time. You know,
it was really. Absolutely. We're going to get back to performing just now, but let's rewind to the very beginning. So first of all, the question is, why the name 2 Unlimited?
Well, when I met up with the producers, they had a demo from Get Ready for This. And I was recording something with them for a totally different project. And my producer used to have a record shop. So he had all the, you know, he was DJing a little bit. And after we did the recording, I was just going to the records. And I picked, it's always a strange story. I was always thinking like, God, just lead my hand to this record.
Yeah.
I took, it was a white label. And it said 2 Unlimited. That was the working title. So when I said to him, I said, you know, if you want to have a rap on it, let me write something on it. I never wrote a text in my life, but I was just trying to bluff a little bit.
Yeah.
So when I got the tape, like a week later, I started to write the rap, but I also heard like a female hook in it. So I also wrote, it was just like this that I wrote. It was like in an hour. So I went back to him and I said, you know, yeah, I finished the rap, but I also got a part for a girl. Yeah. Do you know any singers? Well, you know, I was doing break dancing and I was a little bit in the scene. So I knew a lot of people. And I knew about Anita. She was singing in clubs and stuff like that. And I thought, yeah, that could be a, you know, we both of our father are black and moms are white, so half black, half white. So the combination was perfect. And then the working title was Too Unlimited already. So it really fitted. Like it's two people, it's too unlimited.
Yes.
It's always so strange that, you know, I don't really believe in coincidence, but it just came together and had to be like this, you know. So that's how Too Unlimited came about.
So let's rewind a little bit before. You said you're doing breakdancing and stuff. So at what age did you, whether it was a child or teenager, do you think, okay, cool, I want to be in the entertainment industry in whichever way or avenue that is? And how did that journey accumulate from then? Yes, then you mentioned you joined Too Unlimited to where we are today. Let's find out your entertainment journey.
Yeah, no, well, I was really interested in music always. I was never listening to dance music, always to hip hop. You know, my heroes were like LL Cool J, Public Enemy, Run-DMC, that, you know, so I was really into the hip hop stuff. And I started to, you know, do some DJing and, you know, at the local clubhouse. And my grandmother had a house in Spain. And one day we were at the club and I just, you know, pick up the mic and I started to, yeah, whatever, you know, just blaring, oh, Spain, are you ready to party, whatever. And I was 13 years old. And on school, I was doing talent shows that most of the time I was winning. But for me, you know, I'm studying to be a cook, and I wanted to be a cook. My dream was to have a restaurant. The other dream would be an artist, but it would be in the same context. Like, I hope I win the lottery tomorrow. So it was this. It's, you know, it's not realistic. You always hope for it. So I never thought that will be an option. And, you know, me looking at after that at Michael Jackson, which was my big example. And when I went to the show in Holland, I remember it was in 87. I was at the show. I was a big fan of him. And I saw him with the outfits. And at that moment, I thought, if I ever going to be an artist, which I think that will never happen, I want to be in this. I want to bring a show. So if you see our outfits at the show, we also got leather with the bling. And, you know, I thought, like, yeah, will never happen, you know. And pretty much, yeah, I was 19 when we started. It was 19 September when the record came out. And within a month, it came into the UK charts at number two straight away. So, and I was a cook. I was a cook at the airport, you know. So it was like unbelievable. And yeah, and we could have do some shows for promotion, but I couldn't get free. And I said to my chef, I said, you know, I'm gonna go the weekend. Can I get off? So no, we cannot change it. And yeah, because I want to do shows. He said, shows? What kind of shows? Just go back to the kitchen and cook the food. And then I said, you know what? I stop. So I quit right away. So I called the producer, said, yo, I'm open. I want to do shows. I want to do the whole, you know, let's go. And yeah, and then it started. You know, then we signed a contract with him, and got Anita informed because she was working at the administration, the police station. I said, you know, we can do some shows, but you know, we really need to go for it. So I just quit my job. She said, really? Are you crazy? I said, no, well, I believe in it. You know, you never know what comes out of it. And I'm a learned cook, so if this adventure didn't work out, I could always find another job because I was quite a good cook. So yeah, and then it just boom exploded, you know. And you know, then after, of course, South Africa came, was really early, started already to and to all the records became gold in the UK, in Holland, in South Africa, Australia. And you know, before we knew it, we were in Japan doing shows, in Australia, in South Africa. So, you know, it went pretty fast, you know, it went faster than I could imagine. And yeah, so it was a dream come true.
From that very fast accumulation of success and things happening quickly, then how did things move forward from there?
Pete Waterman from the famous record label PWL, you know, at that time they were doing, you know, Jason Donovan and Rick Astley. He was the one who picked up the record. And so the UK was really controlling that because, you know, they had a big marketing machine and they knew exactly how to, they had good links with Top of the Pops. So before we knew, we were at Top of the Pops. And then suddenly all the different territories in the world started to know about Too Unlimited. And of course it went good and we were touring. But when it, because I was always thinking, like, you know, it's a dream. Tomorrow I wake up and I'm back in the kitchen. You know, I was realistic that I was like, enjoy the moment, Ray. And you know, before you know it, you're doing something else. But then No Limit came out. And you know, I'm a big football fan, soccer fan. And it's like when No Limit came out, we went to the Champions League. You know, so it went like suddenly we had bodyguards, we had business class flights, 5-star hotels, people waiting at the airport. So at that moment, I really felt like, yo, this could be something serious, could be a serious career. And at that time in 92, I was already living in Monte Carlo because Prince Albert, he was now the king, he was a big fan, and he always had the World Music Awards. So before I knew it, I met him there, and he was like, Ray, why don't you come live in Monte Carlo? And I didn't know much about Monte Carlo. I only knew that you don't pay tax there. So I thought, well, that could be something interesting. Before I know it, I was with Prince Albert, and there was all these big artists that I met there. And because I was living there, very quick, you were one of those artists. I mean, that went top five next to Madonna, Michael Jackson, Take That, and all the big stars, So me, it was because my father always used to work in nightclubs. So for me, I was a little bit used to this life. And, my mom used to date musicians back in the day. So for me, it was not so strange. So for me, it was really quick that I rolled into this thing. And I was like, yeah, without being arrogant or something, but more like, yeah, this is where I belong. So pretty fast, it was like, it became, especially when No Limit came out, it became really quick that it was a normal way of living.
And are you guys looking at releasing new music currently, or working on that, or focusing on the repertoire?
Well, for me, we had some remixes. I know my producer is talking about it a lot with a lot of people about this. I see that David Guetta is releasing a lot of, he had What Is Love, he had Blue. Now,
Yes.
Labouche came out. But, I really want to do new music, but my producer don't really believe in it. So that's a shame. I'm talking already for years about it because I'm also a songwriter. Of course, I wrote 90% of Tool Limited. So I'm doing also besides Tool Limit, I got a record coming out next month with a guy from Milli Vanilli, which is going to be a banger. And I'm
Okay.
working really hard. I had a song with a guy from Aqua, from Barbie Girl, is also a good friend of mine. So with Tool Limit, it's a shame, but he doesn't want to do it anymore. Maybe some remixes, but you will hear more from me for my solo things that I'm going to do. So because it's something that I really, I manage artists, I produce artists, and I'm still going to do it a couple of years touring, but after that, I just want to have a production company, which I already
Yes.
have, but really, come out with new projects, so that's my goal, actually.
Okay. Your creative process from 0 to 3 to 4 minute song, whether you're writing or producing for yourself or for other artists, let's dive into your creative mind and creative world. How does that happen for you?
Well, with Tool Limit, it was most of the time Philip de Wilde. He was the one who made the demos, the songs. And he sent it to me and to Anita. And yeah, we just got a feeling with it. It was just like, for example, if I would hear the demo from Tribal Dance, it was like African drums in it.
Yes.
So then I think, like, okay, African, tribal, hey, tribal dance. Okay. I always took the title first. And from the title, I started to work. And that most of the time with it always went, I always got the inspiration from the music and No Limit, actually, which was our biggest hit. It was number one in 35 countries. It's the song that we both didn't feel. Nobody felt the song, not even the producers.
Okay.
And we put it on a trip because the album was finished. It was already supposed to call No Limits, but we still had this demo. It was like, this demo, it's still there. What are we doing with it? And then we flew from Australia to Japan, so from Sydney to Tokyo. And I said, with the Walkman, I said, we need to do something with this song. And I always had in mind Crystal Waters, Gypsy King,
Yes.
Queen. La-dee, la-da-da,
Yeah.
la-da. So I thought, like, it should be something like this. And pretty much we already knew the album was going to call No Limits. So we needed an anthem song. And then it was No Limit. And we wrote that song within an hour. It's very strange, because so I hear it from many artists, like, there's songs that focus on and think, yeah, let me do it anyway. And you write it in an hour. And there's certain songs that takes like sometimes weeks that you don't get
Yes.
inspiration. But with No Limit, when we really sat down and put the Walkman on, it was like, yeah. And she came with a no. I said, hey, that's dope, and then we put it together. We sent it over as soon as we arrived in the hotel in Japan. And yes, yeah, we got something with this irritating demo that we all didn't feel it. And
Yes.
yeah, straight because then it's your biggest hit ever, So that's yeah, that's how it goes.
You said you got, oh, you're moving into your own production company and you're managing with other artists and collaborating with them. So moving away from Tool Limited, when you're collaborating with production or producing or managing these artists, what is your process and how is that different to when you are into Unlimited?
I work with several producers. Most of the stuff that I'm doing beside Tool Limited, because I really still like rap music, is more like the song that I'm doing with Milli Vanilli is like an urban kind of Latin Caribbean kind of style.
Okay.
But it's all music that I grew up with, and I put all the elements. There's a little dance in it, but there's a little bit hip hop in it. But so it's just a mixture of, and I always trying to do something beside Tool Limited, to do something else, different sounds than Tool Limited, because that the people already know me from this, and I also want them to get to know me on the other side.
Yes.
I mean, I could buy gangster rap if you want, but I don't live in the ghetto, so I would be lying if I said yeah, that's shocking. But yeah, I know, and I love a lot of different kind of music. So if I always also will come with a solo album, which I already started to do, it's got elements of everything in it. I'm singing on the album. There's rock influence in it because I also like some rock music. So yeah, just something is it would be like a masterpiece of my life. How my life went from listening to Madonna also back in the days, but also listening to UB40 and listening to Kid Creole and the Coconuts and
Yes.
Kool and the Gang. Those were the people that I loved. So it was not only rap, but all these influences of all this the sounds together. Yeah, so there could be a life story on the records.
So that's a life story with of your own, but also when you're producing other artists that you bring that story through them. Okay, that's cool. I love this game. And I know if I had to ask you this question in 4 days, 4 hours, 4 minutes, 4 months, I know and recognize your answer will be different every single time. And I appreciate that. But if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we've finished this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
Well, yeah, that's for sure. It's a song of Michael Jackson, and to choose one, man, there's a lot, of course. But yeah, I think really it's for Michael Jackson would be "Beat It." I mean, I love the Prodigy too. That
Okay.
was actually the first thing did. So I'm always going with memories because there's so many songs, but I always
Yeah.
have a memory with. Yeah, when we did our first show in Scotland, Prodigy was performing there. And I really loved Prodigy, and it was. You're Not Good For Me, or something like
Okay.
this. Then it could be, Kool and the Gang, Get Down On It,
Okay.
because there was also a period when I used to go to the concerts and stuff like this. On a rap bass, yeah, it would be L Cool J, I'm Bad,
Okay.
because there was we had all these records on my wall and had a little DJ stand. I was always dreaming, I think Madonna Holiday, because it's all in the same area and it's all like. It's
Yeah.
the 80s, my influence,
Yeah.
and of course I was listening to Motown because my parents were listening to this, and so but this but like you say, if you ask me tomorrow, I will come up with a
Exactly.
whole new, but
I know that's why I love this game
the
because if you had to ask me the same question right now, I'd like, oh, okay, these are the five. But then if you ask me 2 minutes later, there'll be another five. So it's just
oh, for
interesting to
sure.
hear.
No, it's just at the moment what comes in your mind,
Exactly,
so.
completely. I love a CD. I love the experience of holding it, the journey of, it being delivered or going to the store. And for me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work you've done. Physical is making a massive comeback with regards to CDs, vinyls, and cassettes. But we've got these streaming platforms that people consume music on. And what is your thoughts around the physical, the digital, and the way people interact with music these days compared to previously?
Yeah, no, it's really a topic that I talk about a lot with, especially with Fab from Milli Vanilli, because he's a little bit older, and of course Milli Vanilli was just before Tool Unlimited, so we talk about these kind of things. I mean, I know rappers out here, you got 20 million streams, 30 million streams, but we sold 22 million records,
Yes.
and people used to go to the record store. I mean, I know for myself, when the new Michael Jackson came out, I was the next morning, I was there at 8 o'clock to get a copy. So for me, that's a little bit of shame. I mean, my son, he's 27, he makes music too, he's a rapper, and he just sent me a new track, and he's gonna put it on Spotify and say, yeah, okay, cool. And I know with the new song that we're bringing out, we also have to put it on Spotify. But for me, I would really have the records, because that was, I had all the records and all the pocket money that I had, or
Yeah.
when I was breakdancing on the street and I got some money, I straight away went by the records, So this feeling, of course, respect for all the new artists now and all the rappers in Holland, and they bragging and boasting, we got, yeah, but I only said, like, in my time, people would just go, when the moment it came into the store, it was already shipped gold because so many people were demanding for it. And also with the MTV, when the new video from Tool Limited came, people went boom, and now you're on your phone, okay, yeah, nice, next one, but we used to wait for MTV, the new Michael Jackson came out, man, so it was an event, like now you would look at World Cup, you would get the popcorn out, get the soda, and oh, it's coming, it's like an event, and you were looking forward to it, and that's a little bit, yeah, it's a little bit of pity now. I mean, my daughter, she's 18, she really loves music. Luckily, she likes a lot of 90s music also, but also the 90s urban R&B. And yeah, and I just see there's not much interest because you can only hold them for a minute, and then there's something else. And
It's
yeah, and
even
that's
less
why
than a minute now. It's like 5 seconds.
Oh yeah, for sure. But and that's how you also see in the charts back in the days. We used to stay 2 months in the charts with one song because people are really fan of you to put a poster on and. Kids don't do that nowadays anymore, For me, that's a little bit of shame, and I always feel like I really had a nice youth, because we didn't have the phones, we didn't have all this extra things, and yeah, if they called, if I was home, no, he's outside, okay, and now if somebody app you and they saw that you really, why did you pick up the phone? Why?
No.
And it brings too much stress, and also for the younger people now, too much stress. They need to perform, they need to answer, they need to. And back in the day, it was just like, if I'm not home, I'm not home. Well, I'll try in an hour again, and I'll be hanging in some tree and playing around, And now it's all Nintendo. And
Immediate.
so
It's one
that's a
immediate.
little bit of shame. And that's why I'm really happy that I experienced, I'm from 71. So I really had a nice youth, So I think better than my kids now. I mean, I teach them everything. We go to Miami now Tuesday, my biggest one already been. And my two youngest not, so for me to experience, but daddy was already doing it big in Miami in the 90s, man, like with the bottles and all that stuff, so I'm going to show them now for my side, like the nice stuff, and so that's a good thing, but still they'd be of course filming everything, putting everything on Instagram. It's normal, it's a different do it myself too, it's it just creeps in, that's why I'm glad my youngest, he's 10, he plays football, he loves to play football. So at least most of the time he's outside playing football, and yeah, in the evening he plays his Nintendo, he's on TikTok or whatever he's doing. So yeah, there's not much fantasy anymore with the kids nowadays. That's a shame.
Now, you mentioned earlier on that you perform, like you can perform at a corporate event for 500 people and the next day at a festival or something for 20,000 people. So what's the difference for you when you have the smaller crowds of the corporates to the bigger ones? Do you approach it the same energy, or is there a different feeling from each? And what keeps you going to be on stage? What do you enjoy about it?
No, well, for me, performance being my passion. I mean, we do weekly a show with many, many artists. I'm not gonna name no names, but there's a lot of artists who just do it for the money, And if you see me on stage, you really see that I'm enjoying myself. And if it's 500 people, I will come with the same energy, man. I mean, it's 20,000 people, of course. It's a different when 500 people sing no, or 20,000 people. You get goosebumps, but I will always deliver. I will always give my best, and always I won't leave until all the hands are in the air. And that's my passion. And that I think Tool Limited really our show is very good, and we really interact with the people, and we really give it our all. There's nothing. I'm not gonna stand there. I cannot even stand. If you see my stage, if you want to film me, you'll be like this because I'm there.
All over the place.
Yeah, it's it's show for me, and that's why I said when I looked at Michael Jackson, I said if there will be a chance, I want to bring a show, I want a show, and it's not just performing, no, it's a show, it's an experience, and maybe sometimes I even got more fun than the people in front of me,
So, Ray, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
Well, to the people out there, yeah, I just hope that we can get more shows to share our 90s music, because it's a nice experience. Yeah, I experienced a lot of great shows, and the only thing I want to say is just to stay positive out there. And I know there's a lot of shit going on in the world, but you just need to stay close to yourself, and go for your goals. It sounds really like cliche, but I experienced myself, and after Tool Unlimited, I also I also stopped. I fell in. I lost a lot of money, and I think a lot of people who experienced what I experienced, they would already jump from the building. But I always believed in myself because I knew I'm going to come back with Tool Unlimited, and now I'm already doing it again for so many years again. And yeah, that's for me. Do what you love, because I mean, it's not easy. It's not so easy that everybody can do what they love. But yeah, strive for it. Strive to be happy. I mean, I think you love to do radio or your podcast. That's something that gives you enjoyment. Yeah, man, stay close to yourself and just enjoy life, because it is short, right? It is, and it goes really fast. And hopefully, I'm only halfway. Hopefully, and everything for that. I'm trying to live healthy and do my thing and just have fun, whatever you do, man.